AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is your moment. Your time to shine. Your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Guess what, Mango?
What's that, Will?
So I was thinking about Halloween last week. I don't know if you knew this, but Halloween was last week.
I think I heard it was last week.
Yeah, turns out it was last week. But anyway, there were so many great costumes out there. And I think one of the things I realized is that as many new costumes as there are, you know, things like Fortnite and Black Panther and PJ Mask. I mean, you still see so many costumes that just never seem to go away.
So, whoa, what are you thinking about?
All right, well, I was actually looking up the most searched for Halloween costumes in America this year, and I wrote down some of these. So here are some of the classics on that list. You've got dinosaur, unicorn, pirate, princess, ninja, mouse, witch, mermaid, rabbit. I mean, I feel like these could have been the most popular Halloween costumes from like 20 or 30 years ago.
Except rabbit. Like,
you know, rabbit. I was a
also,
bear.
Like, why are you looking up like how to make a rabbit? Like, it feels pretty easy.
Yeah, you're right.
But, you know, obviously for all the listeners out there, we meant to do a Halloween episode last week, but we had some technical issues and we thought, why don't we make up for it this week? Why don't we use that list of like popular costumes to inspire some new facts that everyone can share?
All right. Well, I'm game for that. So let's dive in. Hey there, podcast listeners. Welcome to Part-Time Genius. I'm Will Pearson, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend Mangesh Hatikader. And sitting behind the soundproof glass with at least 10 tiny old jack-o'-lanterns on his desk, I'd say maybe a dozen or even a baker's dozen, Mango, all sitting on that desk.
And they are so old. He carved each of these last week, and each one is after a different Jack. Like, he's got Jack Donaghy from 30 Rock. He's got a Jack Kennedy one, a Jack Welch, because I guess Tristan's really into GE.
Oh, yeah.
Even a Jack O'Brien from the Daily Zeitgeist. I mean, Tristan is truly an artist.
That's right. That's our friend and producer, Tristan McNeil. Now, Mango, like we were saying at the top of the show, there are a lot of Halloween costumes that tend to repeat themselves year after year.
Yeah, it's funny. I think one of the best things about having kids is that you get to see them dress up, and even better that you get to force costumes on them when they're babies. Like, this is more common now, but the first time I was at this cafe and I saw this guy walking past with this giant building on his head, and I thought, that is kind of strange. And then he turned and he had this little baby dressed as a gorilla just clinging to him, and you realized it was King Kong on the Empire State Building. Like, I loved it so much, but every time I tried to make my kids go with me for Halloween, they just completely rejected it.
So I'm curious, though, what have you wanted to go as?
like, I don't even remember now. So some of them are just costumes I thought the kids should have. Like, Ruby was into Star Wars one year, so I thought Ruby Wan Kenobi would be nice. Funny. But instead, she decided to go as Darth Baggins, which... which isn't a thing. I think she was crossing Darth Vader and Bilbo Baggins.
That's brilliant. But,
one of my only successful costumes was as a refrigerator years ago, and it had like kids art on it. And when you opened the door, there was a light on and like funny foods that were inside. And then there was like a cord as a tail in the back. So I thought maybe I should reprise that and go as a fridge and then have like Henry go as a mini fridge. But that got rejected too. So I've had lots of these failed ideas.
I love the stories. It seems like there's always a good story that comes out of your Halloween experiences. I remember, I think Henry was like 2, maybe almost 3. And he told you he was going to go as a fireman. So you and Lizzie, of course, had a fireman costume all picked out. And then at the very last minute, he insisted he said fire truck. And so unlike me, who would have said, nope, you're a fireman, you ended up having to make him turn into a fire truck instead. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of cardboard we used, but you know, as you'll see, Darth Baggins and Firetruck are not on the list of most researched costumes, but I do think we should dig in. So what costume are you going to talk about first?
All right, well, I feel like we should start with unicorns, which I guess are the fourth most researched costume this year. And I'm actually going to tie this to Marco Polo. I'm guessing you didn't see that coming. And his
No, I didn't.
It's true. So on his trip to China, Marco Polo finally found unicorns. Only, unfortunately, they weren't as beautiful as the old myths and legends had made them out to be. And he honestly felt tricked. And so he later wrote about this encounter, and here's what he had to say. They have hair like that of a buffalo, feet like those of an elephant, and a horn in the middle of the forehead, which is black and very thick. 'Tis an ugly brute to look upon. And that makes a lot of sense, you know, since the thing Marco Polo had actually found were, of course, rhinoceroses.
I do love the idea of like every little girl out there or little boy going out as a unicorn is actually a rhinoceros. Yeah. Like that's it's amazing. I kind of feel like it's a little like when I heard that mermaids were the result of sailors spotting manatees in the ocean. Like, I remember thinking, like, how is that possible? Mermaids are depicted as these, like, gorgeous, you know, modeled, like, creatures. And manatees, as much as I love them, have, you know, never been on the cover of Vogue.
Though if they were, I might pick up my first copy of Vogue. Actually, there's another great unicorn fact that I think you should know. So if you want to try your hand at tracking down a unicorn, you can actually get a unicorn questing license. Now, this comes from Lake Superior State University in Michigan.
And you pay for it? Is it just like a novelty license?
Well, I guess the practice began as this PR stunt. And this was, you know, over 40 years ago. This was 1971. But to this day, the university continues to issue these unicorn hunting licenses to anybody who's interested, though there are a number of regulations. And so here are a few of them. For instance, all unicorn questers are encouraged to bring their own flask of cognac and pinking shears on any expedition. And and you're actually limited to hunting one unicorn per month, no females. And the good news is that according to the terms, the license is, quote, good for a lifetime and beyond, except for Valentine's Day.
So I do love that you've had two great unicorn facts to kick this off. But, you know, one thing I see every Halloween season is witches. And I do not know why it's such a popular outfit. Like, I get that witches are part of Halloween, but it's weird to me that, like, everyone wants to be a witch. I feel like I gave out candy to at least 15 of them this year. But I've got a great gross fact for you about witches. So if you need to find out if a witch is making you sick, there's a little historical life hack Gabe found for us. All you have to do is collect some of your own urine, mix it with rye meal, and then form it into a little patty.
Ugh.
And then you take that witch's cake, as it's called, and feed it to a dog. Now, you have to know any dog will do, because as the history books will tell you, they're all familiar with the dog.
Oh, right, of course.
Then, if the dog comes down with the same symptoms you're exhibiting, you'll know for sure that you're being afflicted by witchcraft. And as an added bonus, the dog will even help you find the witch who did it, because when he eats the cake, the witch who cursed you and your urine will feel it and cry out in pain.
I mean, so. It's one of those things you just wonder how they possibly made this up. I don't know.
It's just science.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's science, yeah.
Scientific method. But, you know, obviously this is ridiculous and no one should try it at home. But the residents of Salem Village believed this back in 1692 because the witch cake practice, I guess, was pretty well known in England at the time. And, of course, it didn't work that well. You know, they tried to put it in practice, but nothing came of it, which is good news for both witches and, I guess, the dogs of the time.
I was going to say, yeah, I think the dogs benefited the most, but... All right, well, here's a quick one about Black Panther that I actually just learned this week. So comic readers were first introduced to Black Panther in July of 1966, and this was in the pages of Fantastic Four number 52. And, of course, his appearance was historic. I mean, it marked the first time that a super-powered African character had appeared in a starring role in an American comic. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is that the superhero's name doesn't come from the activist Black Panther Party, you know, the one that rose to prominence in the 60s.
Yeah.
The character's debut actually predates that group's formation by about 3 months. So instead, it's actually meant to reference a famous African-American tank battalion from World War II, and they were not allowed to serve alongside white U.S. troops during the war. And the unit was nicknamed the Black Panthers after this insignia they wore, which was a profile of a ferocious panther with the motto, "Come out fighting," written under it. Now, the Panthers later received a presidential unit citation for their actions and are actually considered by some historians to be one of the most effective tank battalions in the entire war.
Huh. That's pretty fascinating. But how did Marvel come up with this name for the character?
Well, apparently Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, you know, they had lived through World War II and remembered the battalion and its nickname. And obviously Black Panther is better than the original name that they were thinking of, which was Cole Tiger.
Cole Tiger is a terrible name for a superhero. Yeah. You know, one of the costumes I'm terrified of is clowns. And actually, this year we went to this house around the corner from us, and the entire family dressed up like killer clowns. And they were so clearly out to scare kids. And, you know, my two kids are so different. Like, Henry decided he didn't need any candy that badly, so he just stood outside the gate and told jokes. And and Ruby just kind of strolled in and demanded candy. But I'm curious, did you like clowns as a kid?
You know, I know a lot of people are terrified of them. I guess I didn't feel strongly. I didn't really understand them. Like, they weren't somebody that I wanted to be entertained by, but I wasn't terrified of them.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I watched Bozo the Clown on TV, like, in the afternoons. And you know, I absolutely loved seeing them at Barnum & Bailey. And this is actually where my fact comes in. So I started thinking about how clowns cram themselves into these, like, tiny cars. And I started wondering, like, there's got to be some kind of trick to it, right? Like, 15 cars will just spill out of these tiny spaces. And, of course, I turned to Gabe and I asked him about it. And he found this quote, according to Greg DeSanto, who's executive director of the International Clown Hall of Fame and Research Center. I mean, you know, Gabe finds the best people.
Right. Seems like a credible source.
Greg says, quote, "There's no trick to the clown car gag. There are no trap doors and stadium floors, and the cars are real cars. So basically the car is fully functional, but its interior has been completely stripped and gutted and freed up as much space as possible. So, like, they take the seats out. Often the driver is sitting on a milk crate instead of like a proper stool or a regular chair, you know, and from there it's just a matter of cramming in as many clowns as possible. Hmm. And the average compact clown car can fit anywhere between 14 and 21 clowns, depending on which props they have inside with them.
Yeah, that is impressive. I mean, 21 people fitting in a car like that, it actually kind of reminds me of, you probably remember this, how it felt like at least once a week during college, we would pack people into that tiny little Honda, and for some reason, we would go to Macaroni Grill. I mean, there were plenty of good restaurants, but we always went
Durham
to Macaroni Grill.
Durham has so many good foods and Macaroni Grill.
Yeah, it's just so strange. Well, anyway, speaking of terrifying things, people have been scared of zombies in one form or another for thousands of years now. And actually, I didn't realize how long we've been scared of them, but apparently, archaeologists have uncovered ancient Greek burial sites with skeletons that were pinned down with rocks and these other heavy objects put on their chest. And this was all to stop the corpses from coming back to terrorize the living. Now, today, zombies seem to have, you know, this larger role in the cultural zeitgeist than it feels like just about any other time in history. And believe it or not, actually, the atomic bomb may be to blame for that. So according to Stanford literary scholar Angela Beccara-Vidgar, wide-scale disasters of the mid-20th century, such as the bombing of Hiroshima, that actually paved the way for the rise of zombie narratives and these other stories that focus on mass destruction and really all these desperate survival situations that resulted from those.
I guess I just wouldn't have put it together that like it all came out of the atomic bomb stuff.
Yeah, and it's actually not just the storytellers who've tapped into the cultural fears that led to this zombie mania. So the CDC, or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, actually got in the act a couple years ago by launching this zombie preparedness website. And it's actually a smart way to get people thinking about how to prepare for all sorts of disasters, whether they're zombie-based or not, and it's actually been a pretty big success.
Oh, that's pretty fascinating. So in a totally different path, I'm going to talk about mermaids. Mermaids feel like the opposite of zombies to me. But, you know, back in 2013, Animal Planet aired these two fake documentary specials called Mermaids, The Body Found and Mermaids, New Evidence. And they basically showed these fake scientists proving the existence of mermaids. But it's kind of like that old BBC hoax we've talked about before, like about spaghetti farmers who grew pasta on trees. And then, you know, millions of people wrote in wondering where they could get their own spaghetti trees, you know. I guess the people who watched this mermaid special didn't realize the disclaimer in the credits that said certain events in the film are fictional. And so there were so many people affected that Google searches for "Are mermaids real?" outpaced questions like "Are aliens real?" and "Are ghosts real?" for the entire year. And it got so bad that the NOAA, which is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, they received so many inquiries that they actually issued an official statement denying the existence of mermaids. Isn't that amazing?
Oh, wow, that's pretty funny. Well, I know we have two more facts to go, but let's get to those after a quick break.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Welcome back to Part-Time Genius, where we're talking facts inspired by Halloween costumes. Now, chances are you've seen those inflatable T-Rex costumes that have been popping up all manner of internet memes and videos lately. You know, I saw a ton of them around this year, but if you're wondering just how anatomically correct the costumes are, I'm so sorry to break it to you. They're not very accurate.
And they probably weren't as like wobbly as they look when people have them on, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they weren't a laughingstock T-Rexes, apparently. I'm going to start with the spindly little arms that everyone finds so funny. You know, the T-Rex's arms are usually portrayed as like disproportionately small compared to the massive body. But in reality, the T-Rex's arms were over 3 feet long, and they sported biceps strong enough to bench press at least 430 pounds each. So pretty strong. You know, it actually means that the Rex's arms would have come in handy if a T-Rex was ever, you know, knocked over and had to lever itself off the ground. And also if it just had to hold on tight to squirming prey before chomping down. And then there's the matter of scales versus feathers. So fluffy dinosaurs were basically the norm when it came to smaller species. But when the remains of this feathered, nearly T-Rex-sized dinosaur was found back in 2012, the door was open to the possibility that rexes also sported feathers, at least when they hatched. So paleontologists contend that the animals may have had fluffy feathers their whole lives, which would have really made for both like a more interesting and glammed up costume.
Wow. You know what? If there's one thing people really love, Mango, it's when other people fact check their costumes. So I'm sure you're really popular on Halloween. All right. Well, I'm going to end this on a fact about Wonder Woman. It just feels appropriate. And I love this one. So we all know Wonder Woman herself is a force to be reckoned with. But that famous invisible jet of hers is actually something of a joke, or at least that's how Mattel treated it back in 2010. And that's when they released this fake mock-up of an invisible jet toy as an April Fool's joke. Now, the unexpected part came when fans began clamoring for the product to actually be released. And so Mattel eventually answered their prayers by offering an exclusive Hot Wheels invisible jet at Comic-Con. So here's the catch. There was no toy in the box at all. Instead, the package just contained a plastic tray with the shape of a jet molded into it, along with a couple of small weights, you know, to make the box feel like there was a real toy inside. Of course, for fans who, you know, keep their collectibles mint in box anyway, this wasn't much of an issue.
Sure.
And funny enough, Mattel wasn't the only one to pull such a stunt. Back in 2015, the Smithsonian did something pretty similar, also on April Fool's Day, of course, except they took things to a whole nother level. So for one day only, the National Air and Space Museum put Wonder Woman's invisible jet, quote, on display. So they released this video on YouTube announcing the jet's arrival and documenting how the workers were able to suspend it from the ceiling. But, you know, since it's an invisible jet and all, you kind of just have to take their word for it.
Oh, I love that. I actually really love when museums play to like pop culture and get people into, you know, the exhibits that way. Like, I really think you should take the trophy home this week.
All right. Well, thanks so much. And thanks to all of our listeners for being patient and waiting an entire week to get their Halloween facts. I know all of you were just sitting there waiting for this. But anyway, yeah. From Gabe, Tristan, Mango, and me, thanks so much for listening.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.